event. Not coincidentally, today's point number 18 in how are you going to face and defeat your giants? Devote and dedicate your heart and life to the Lord. From verse 54. 1 Samuel 17. And David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Now, we already discussed the attitude of humility in point number 13, stay humble and give God the glory. But there's a little bit more for us to examine here as well. Bringing of the head to Jerusalem to King Saul was an expression of submission to the king's authority. And giving him the credit for the victory. But David had already submitted to God or devoted or dedicated not only the victory, but his heart and his life as well. Outward actions of submission indicate an inner heart expression of submission. You can't fake it, in other words. If you're submitted to the Lord, it's going to be manifest in what you do and what you speak. It's not something that you can fake. And this is the genuineness that the world is looking for. The real stuff. Bear with me. It'll be worth the wait. There are other scriptures that illustrate this point of devotion or dedicating of the heart and life. From David's life and elsewhere. 1 Chronicles 18, verse 11. In this instance, the scripture is speaking of the defeat of the Philistines, the Moabites, the Arameans, and there's always spoils of war when the enemy is defeated. And a decision has to be made on what to do with those. You either take them and personally benefit them, benefit from those things, or you dedicate those things to the Lord as an expression of gratefulness and thankfulness and acknowledging that really it's God who brought the victory. It's not your efforts. It's not that you're a skilled warrior or you have a superior army. Because we've seen many times in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel did not have a superior army, and yet they won because God went before them. And it says here, King David dedicated these things to the Lord. And once again, it's a heart attitude of honoring the Lord. And that principle is when we honor him, he honors us. And David knew that, but he wasn't looking. It's like you don't give to get. You don't give your tithe to get something back. You understand? You give because you honor him. You're dedicated and devoted to the Lord. And you trust him to take care of your every need. But you don't sow a seed because you're saying, now that seed's going to reproduce, even though it will. But that shouldn't be our heart motivation. Our motivation should be to honor him. In the New Testament, Romans 12:1, Paul speaking, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. The Amplified renders it this way, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. There's always a spiritual correlation between what we do in the natural. We may not always recognize that relationship, but there's always a tie there. And so when Paul's saying dedicate your bodies, he's not saying be willing to die for Christ, for the cause of the gospel. That too. But he's not talking about the physical body. He's talking about your life, presenting your heart, presenting your life and all your plans and your future unto the Lord. New Testament, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present, stand before yourself approved or tested to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately, and I would say speaking and living the word of truth. Not just, it's certainly speaking about not playing Bible roulette here, taking out a verse out of context for your convenience and to prove a point. We need the whole counsel of God. And we need to not just know what the word says, but we need to live what the word says. That's what living stones do. They live the gospel. Malachi 3:3 renders it this way, present offerings in righteousness. And what's that? With the right heart attitude, dedicated and devoted unto him. God was giving you and I the opportunity this morning to live out what I'm sharing from the Word of God, presenting ourselves to him, offering up our worship unto him, our future, our plans, the things that he's already birthed in us, and yet we have not seen them come to pass. Proverbs 21:21. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds righteousness and honor. I would paraphrase it this way. Keep the right heart attitude and God will exalt, prosper, and honor you. Now, there's an expression in the world, what you see is what you get. Meaning, there's nothing hidden, there's no deception. It's when a person says that, if they're saying it with the right attitude and not pridefully, they're saying, this is who I am. My behavior reflects my commitment to Jesus Christ. There's nothing hidden or deceptive about what I'm speaking or what I'm doing. And David was such a man after God's heart. So this concept speaks of loyalty, transparency, trustworthiness, and integrity, the real deal. Thus, it says of David in the next chapter in Samuel, chapter 18, 5, David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he prospered. How would you like that to be your testimony? Wherever you go, God will prosper you. But see, it doesn't just depend upon God. That's a faulty theology. It depends on our stepping in to the anointing. It depends on us speaking and acting in obedience. Do you think it was David's idea to face the giant? Seriously, do you think it was his idea? No, it was God's idea. On integrity or heart condition. From Chuck Swindoll's book, Hand Me Another Brick, which I probably read 20 years ago. Back in 1958, a small community in northeastern Pennsylvania built a little red brick building that was to be their police department, their fire department, and their city hall. So you can imagine the size of the town. They were proud of that building. It was the result of sacrificial giving and careful planning. When the building was completed, they had a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and more than 6,000 people were there, nearly all of the town's residents. It was the biggest event of the year. Within less than 2 months, however, they began to notice some ominous cracks on the side of this red brick building. Sometime later, it was noticed that the windows wouldn't shut all the way. Then it was discovered that the doors wouldn't close correctly. Eventually, the floor shifted and left ugly gaps in the floor covering and corners. The roof began to leak. Within a few more months, it had to be excavated to the embarrassment of the builder and the disgust of the taxpayers. A firm did an analysis shortly thereafter and found that the blasts from a nearby mining area were slowly but effectively destroying the building. Imperceptibly, down beneath the foundation, there were small shifts and changes taking place that caused the whole foundation to crack. You couldn't feel it or even see it from the surface, but quietly and down deep there was a weakening. A city official finally had to write across the door of that building, condemned, not fit for public use, and ultimately the building had to be demolished. So what is the point of this? Sometimes we're not happy with God when we have testings and trials in our life. But those things are to expose your weaknesses. God does not want any cracks in your foundation. He loves you that much. And he can't build something that has a faulty foundation. You cannot build on something that has a faulty foundation. God's not going to anoint something, in other words, in your life, that is built on anything less than Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful, and we have to keep pressing in, because we can be deceived. We have to have a pure heart, one that's dedicated and devoted unto him. We have to have a heart when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you in that still small voice. It doesn't have to be in a dramatic way, but your heart responds to that Holy Spirit of God that is living within you. And it says, "Yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I'll take care of that." Or if it's something you can't take care of, it, "Lord, I can't take care of this thing. I submit it to you and to the work of your grace." A heart dedicated and devoted unto the Lord. Not popular preaching. But he loves us so much, he will expose anything and everything in our foundation. Because he knows the work he wants to do. He knows the work he has planned to do in you as well as through you. And he will not build on something that's not founded on the cross of Jesus Christ. And a heart that's consecrated, dedicated, and devoted unto him. So, the first thing in this verse 54, it says, David brought the head of the Philistine to King Saul, and it says he brought his weapons, he put his weapons in his tent. That means his sling, his stones, his bag, everything that he took to the battlefront, except what? What did he not take to the battlefront? The sword of Goliath. What happened to the sword? Well, if you look in the scripture a little further, 1 Samuel 21:9, it tells us what happened to the sword. It tells us what David did with the sword, and it tells us the heart that David had of devotion and dedication and consecration to the Lord. The priest is speaking to David on this day, and he says, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, behold, it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod." So where is the sword? It's in the temple. I believe David brought the sword before he went to see King Saul, before he brought the head of the enemy to the king, I believe he brought that sword to the priest, and the priest put it in the Holy of Holies in the temple. He had dedicated or devoted or consecrated that sword to the Lord. He didn't have to wear it around in public to prove, you know, swagger around, look at what I did. What an awesome warrior I am. Look how God uses me. He didn't need any of that. He recognized without his God, he was nothing. Nothing. There would have been no victory without the power of the Lord going forth, not only on David's behalf, but for the whole nation of Israel. This is what one of the commentators, well-known Matthew Henry, says about this. He had gratefully given it back to God, dedicating it to him and to his honor as a token of his thankfulness. And what really that represents is David had not just dedicated the sword, but he had dedicated his being, his heart, and his life to the Lord. So you and I need to dedicate ourselves to the work of the Lord. We need to dedicate. And I'm preaching at myself this morning, because the Holy Spirit will convict us. If there are things in your life that are not right, he will convict you of those things. What you do about it, that's between you and him. But we need to dedicate it and devote ourselves and everything we say and do to the Lord. Then you can face and defeat your giants. Because then the power and the provision of the Lord will be released to you and for you in whatever he asks you to say or do. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And verse 23 as well. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. You see, you and only you are accountable to God for what he asks you to do or say. It doesn't matter if people don't understand, appreciate it, or they don't. Doesn't matter if they criticize you or praise you. Because ultimately, on that day, when you stand before him, you're going to be accountable to God for what he's required of you. And that's a very sobering thing. You know, the concept, I think it's misunderstood and misused in the body of Christ. We think, or we treat the scripture, God is a jealous God, and he's a consuming fire. We treat that, or think of that, in the wrong way. Like he's angry with you. No. Everything he does is motivated by love. There's not a thing that your father does that is not motivated by love. and that has the grace available to you and I to respond to it in love as well. These are times that are going to expose the weaknesses in your foundation. These are the days that when the pressure is on, if there's something there that can't withstand the pressure, it's going to come up for you and everyone around you to see. So when we dedicate or devote these things, these giants, whether it's anger, whether it's lust, you fill in the blank. That giant that we need to conquer, and we are able to conquer. If we don't dedicate these things to him, my thoughts are that when the heat is on, people aren't going to see purified silver and gold. They're going to see sticks and rubble, and it's going to be consumed in your life and in my life. So how are you going to face your giants? There's not a one of us that don't have a giant, or two, or three. It's probably more than one. Amen? He has enabled us to face and defeat these things through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that has subsequently been made available to every blood-bought believer. But we have to dedicate these things to him. We have to consecrate these things to him. We have to humble ourselves before him in these areas of weakness. We all have an area of weakness. But our God is stronger. Our God is greater, and our God is faithful when we are willing to do our part. And our part is that dedication, that consecration, and that devotion of those things that are bigger than we are, but they're not impossible for him. Amen. I hope you're being stirred by the Holy Spirit of God today, not just from this word, but through all that God has been saying and doing in our midst. Where we're going next week, Lord willing, as usual. Number 19, let the Lord prepare and transform you. How are you going to face and defeat your giants in this hour? Let the Lord prepare and transform you. God bless you all. I am so thankful that you're here today. Please pray for the ones who aren't here. I know some are sick. But some just got sidelined. The enemy succeeded in sidelining them today for whatever reason. And I don't think it was the cold. Amen. So, Father, I pray that you seal this work and this word, everything in its entirety that you are doing and speaking today, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.